Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:05 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:05 p.m. on the West Coast, and you're listening to the TMGS on the Michael Gay Network. Happy Saturday, everyone. Today's date is 4/29/2023, and I just went through one of the most amazing situations when you're about to go on air is when you can't get on air. I mean, literally, I don't know what is going on with my laptops. I do have two of them, and bills paid, this and that and the other. So I have to go ahead and jump on my phone to make a connection to the board, which I hadn't done that in a long time. But I managed to do it this time, but I don't know what's going on. I had this issue last week where all of a sudden one of my laptops just said lock, and I'm like, what? So I'm hoping that nothing, that I haven't been, someone has gotten to my system, because I do have a protection on it. But fortunately, I'm able to bring the show up here on my phone, which is a good thing. And actually, I'm looking at the board and everything, and I see the lady of the house is here with her hand up. So I'm going to welcome her on, and I'm going to keep working with my laptops here, because both of them I'm having issues with. So please welcome to the show, as always, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know, you gotta have that, you know, you gotta do those horns, you know, that you know, hey.
I'm ready to bop.
Okay, okay. And in this corner, right. Hey, you know, I don't know what is going on here. I remember last Saturday I said that I had to switch over laptops to another one because I had an issue with this particular one.
Right.
And then
right.
then just as I was about to switch over to that one, this one popped up. So now it did the same thing. And the crazy thing is that luckily I had scheduled the show already in the system, but when I tried to go back to it, I couldn't do it. So here it is, like, what, 10 minutes before the show, maybe five, and I had to, you know, go in and pull it up on my phone. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to work on this right after, but it won't load it. So, so far, so good. Everything's been great today, but you know it's been one heck of a week. But I want to bring up something here. I wasn't going to talk about on the show before we go into our topics. And see, that's what's going to be the trip, because I'm going to have to go back and forth from the board to, you know, to the itinerary, right? So I have to be switching back and forth on my phone where I normally use my laptop to do so. I wasn't going to say this. I wasn't going to talk about this on the show, but you remember I told you about a text message that I got a little while ago from someone about someone wanting to come on this show?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So here's the thing. Now, I haven't heard back from them at all, but I don't want to go into the whole story completely, but just for the listeners, that there was an individual that I know, and I contacted them, and I told them that, yeah, you know, a friend of mine went to see the show and said that you guys were great. They said that guy was so-so, and I've heard a lot of folks say that, you know, guy was so-so, you know, they enjoyed hearing the music, but that the lead singer, his voice just isn't the way it used to be, which is Aaron Hall. But I made the comment to this friend, I said, and they said that Keith was drunk, meaning Keith Sweat. Now, shortly after that, when I shared it with this person, or I said this to this person, they text me back and say, hey, look, you know, fans just got to be honest. It's good to hear their responses, you know. So shortly after that, I get a text from a person that says that to come on the show. Now, that threw me for a loop, Janet. Wouldn't it throw you for a loop? Because I'm like, Keith Sweat likes the show. I had no clue Keith Sweat even knew about the show. Now, keep in mind, I do get phone calls. I'm sure a lot of you guys, many of you folks get some calls from telemarketers and this and that and the other. You know, I get texts and calls from folks clowning and joking. I have some friends of mine who clown and joke, you know what I mean? And they'll say, yeah, that was me, Mike, ha, 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 you know. But the thing is that here's a text message, and I don't know this number. And when I read it, I looked through my database, and I'm like, I don't have this number in my phone. No name, no nothing. Never called it before, never received a call. So they proceed to tell me how Mr. Sweat would like come on the show, blah, 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 blah. And would you like him on the show? Now, I'm at work, and I just text back, and I just put the word sure. Why did I put sure, you know? Well, I mean, I was busy. But in my mind, I'm thinking, this might be a joke. And so they text back, and they were like, sure, like a question mark, you know? Like, you know, how dare you answer like that? I have no other answer for you. I really didn't. And it wasn't negative. It wasn't like I said, hell no. I didn't say that.
But sure could have been like, sure, yeah, right.
Huh? Say that again?
I said a sure could have been like a, yeah, right. You know?
Well, obviously they took it that way, you know. But the thing is, in my mind, I'm wondering, you know, why not just call me? Okay, so this is how they responded. They said, sure. They said, okay, I think I might have the wrong number. It doesn't seem or sound like the person who I thought I was speaking to. My name is, and I'm not going to say their name for your concern, said for setting this up, his manager will reach out to you. I'm only reaching out to see if you would like to for him to come on the show. Okay. His name is Marvin, and that would set up actual date and time. Now, see, that's the key part. I got to really know who you really are, and do you know who I know, right? And Marvin is Keith's manager. Once you said that, I was like, oh, okay. But then again, almost anybody can figure that one out. But I know who Marvin is, Marvin McIntyre. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I did let her know, and I did tell her. I said, okay, I just wanted to get a confirmation that we still, you know, because I said, hello, I'm not going to say her name. This is Michael, and I do know Marvin. And I explained to her that I do get many prank phone calls. And I said, so my answer or my text may sound dry, you know. But people do play games, so I just thought it was a joke. And I just wanted to just check it out. What you think? You thought
Michael,
that was wrong to respond that way?
But Michael, you know me. So
yeah.
What's the punchline? Is it really Keith Sweat, or was it a joke?
Well, that's the thing. I hadn't heard back. And I did reach out to another friend who knows Marvin McIntyre, you know, who knows Marvin pretty well. And I told them what had occurred. They said, well, you know, they said, I'm not really part of Keith's camp like that, you know. He said, but, you know, it could have been joking. Then again, it could have been real. You never know. He said, call Marvin. Well, I don't have Marvin's number. But I did text Marvin, and I didn't get a response back. So I don't know either way was real or if it was a joke. So I really don't know. I hadn't got a full response. But
you've talked with Marvin before on numerous occasions. So it's not like you're talking to somebody or you're texting someone that you don't have a clue if it's really that person or not. And you know other people who know him that you can figure it out because you know other people that he represents. Right?
Yeah, but you know, true. But it's a thing where now I'm just going to sit back and wait. And sometimes that's the best thing to do is sit back and wait and see what happens. Because the one individual that I reached out to, I was trying to see if they once their tour is done, if they would come on the show once the tour is done, which is about to wrap up. So, I don't know. I'm just going to sit back and wait and see and take it from there. You know, summertime is coming, so there's a lot of shows that are being scheduled. A lot of artists are already hitting the road. And speaking of artists hitting the road, last night, Janet Jackson performed here in the ATL at State Farm Arena. Now, here's the crazy thing about it for you people who probably don't know. Janet was really scheduled for State Farm Arena on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
According to some individuals and some right up there, supposedly they had set up her stage, her whole sound and everything. And if you guys ever seen a concert of this magnitude, the way they what it takes to get these guys, these riggers. In fact, Marvin showed a video or a live stream of one of his artists that were being, you know, preparing for the show. It's amazing how much work that goes into it. So imagine you putting together this whole concert thing, and little did I know, the stages on many situations of this magnitude, the stages actually roll. The entire stage is on wheels. So what they do, they put together the stage, And once they put it all together, then they roll the stage into place of where it's going to be in the arena. And then they add the floor seats. So sometimes mm-hmm. when you hear that, you know, there's no more tickets or whatever, actually some pop up at the last minute because now they realize, oh, we got more room here, you know. So anyway, so they set up Janet's stage. This is what I was told. They set up her stage for Thursday night. I take it they didn't think the Hawks were going to pull out that game and bring the series back to Atlanta. So, of course, they didn't have to take down the lighting, I mean the sound and lighting, but they had to remove the floor plan for the concert and put the parquet.
They had to remove everything and start it all over again.
Put the basketball court back down, and then right after the game, and I give props to the Hawks because they did fight, they did battle. That fourth quarter, I mean, it was back and forth. It was tied many a times. They just couldn't hold on. They couldn't pull it out. But right after the game, they had to pull that floor up and boom, put Janet's stage out there. So that was just imagine. Those guys probably worked almost 48 hours doing all that, at least 24. And then had Janet performed on Thursday night, it wouldn't have been the madhouse Atlanta became on Friday night because almost directly across the street, which is further away than that, is the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Taylor Swift was performing there. In fact, Taylor Swift sold out here in Atlanta last night, tonight, and tomorrow night. So I know downtown was a madhouse last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only
mm-hmm.
thing about Taylor Swift, you know, she's a teen idol, pretty much. But this young lady is killing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
It's the first time the Mercedes-Benz Stadium has ever sold out. Three nights in a row.
A few concerts before that, Taylor Swift, the tickets got messed up, and a lot of people were very, very upset because they, for Taylor Swift. I think that was last month.
Well, yeah, that's where this whole thing with Ticketmaster and StubHub and all that stuff started coming about. A lot of folks were receiving bogus tickets online. But they tell you, do not go to a non-reputable source to buy tickets for a show. If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. There's no way in the world you're going to get tickets. You know, even I'm not going to say front row center. You're not going to get any tickets down on the floor on the side for $200. The nosebleeds are $200 minimum.
Well, you know, for Janet Jackson, I saw $76 because I looked to see how much the tickets were.
$76 where?
Janet Jackson for her night. Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying on what site though? Because that could have been a, you know what I mean?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a bad site. Oh, I ain't going to a bad site. Because I was contemplating, should I? And then I was like, nah. Because I mean, I had a lot going on, and there was no way I could have done all that. I was rushing today. You saw what time I put the itinerary online.
Even if it was $76, okay, I'm pretty sure those would have been nosebleeds. I know they were not on the floor.
Mm-mm.
There's
no way. They weren't. There's no way you're going to get that type of ticket on the floor right up front and center. No.
You're going to be sitting way up top. You're going to be right next to the spotlight man way in the back at that price. There's just no way because even – New Edition's on tour is still. I'm pretty sure they're about to wrap up soon, the Legacy Tour. And, you know, I looked at some of the prices online for that. the nosebleeds, you know, were way up there. But then depending on the venue and as it draws closer to the date, sometimes they'll drop the prices in certain sections, right? Because,
yeah.
And that's depending where you're sitting. Yeah, if you're sitting on the side, you know, certain areas on the side, it might be a little bit cheaper, but your viewing advantage is a little bit different, you know. I personally don't like being on the floor. I really don't. Because I hate for person, because you're on the level ground and people will stand up in front of you, you know. And it's like, hey, look, I didn't plan on standing up all this damn time. This is a damn 2-hour concert. I'm not going to be on my feet the whole damn 2 hours. I want to sit down and watch the show. I didn't pay for standing room only seats. I paid for I could sit back and relax and listen. Yeah, get up every now and then. But
I'm the type of person that would say, excuse me, because I paid just like they did, you know?
Mm-mm. True. That's true. Yeah, and yeah, you have the right to do that. But you got some folks who are hard-headed and they want to, well, you know how that works. We got social media to show us how that turns out. I just saw one at a basketball game. What you all fighting over at a basketball game? I mean, come on. You know, and this guy will, anyway, I'm not going to go into that. Okay, so let me get to our topics here and bear with me. I'm from our itinerary to the board on my phone. This is a first for me, so bear with me. All right, so, and let me see here. Here it is, I think. First, let's say this. Let's talk about this first. Before I get into the political thing, gotta say condolences to the family of Jerry Springer. Wow. Gerald Norman Springer, February 13th, 1944, passed away April 27th, 2023, was an American broadcaster, journalist, actor, producer, lawyer, and politician. Man, this dude did it all except for play the drums. I mean, he was born in London during World War II to refugees escaping the Holocaust. Springer was raised in Queens, New York City. Wow. He attended Northwestern University School of Law, qualified as a lawyer, became actively involved in politics, working for the campaign of Robert Kennedy in 1968. That's amazing. You know, he had all that. I did not know that he was the mayor of Cincinnati for 1 year. I didn't know that. I believe it was from 77 to 78. Unfortunately, well, political party, he was a Democrat, but unfortunately, according to what I've seen, is that he passed of pancreatic cancer. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing about pancreatic cancer, you normally don't catch it until it's like stages, and by then it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
wow.
This is sad.
Wow. You know, back, this is crazy because the Jerry Springer Show, hold on a minute. Okay, so, you know, he came off with this show, and it was one of the hottest shows on television, the Jerry Springer Show. And some folks at Trash TV, that's when Trash TV was introduced, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what people want to see, obviously, because his ratings were very high. Okay. He hosted the Jerry Springer podcast from 2015 to 2022. His show, here it says, Regional Emmy Awards for Commentary. Okay, Springer was best known for hosting the sometimes controversial tabloid talk show Jerry Springer from 1991 to 2018. That's a long run.
It sure is.
That's a very long run. He was also the host of America's Got Talent from 2007 to 2008, you know, just a year. But he left his footprint, you know, on there. And the courtroom show Judge Jerry from 2019 to 2022. That's 2 years. Let's see. Off television, he hosted the Jerry Springer podcast from 2015 to 2022. He was noted as a pioneer of the emergence of trash TV. It's just amazing of the career that this gentleman had and the effect that he had on the air then and still, because there's still shows that piggyback off of what he created. In fact, do you remember the guy who played the security or bouncer, Steve?
Right.
Steve Wilco. Mm-hmm. Got his own show. So, again, condolences to his family. But wow, that's really amazing. The career that he had. Another thing is that where when I was looking over certain things here. There was something else I wanted us to always also talk about, and I meant to get that to you. What's her name? Judge Hatchett.
Mm.
Remember her?
I didn't see anything about Judge Hatchett. What happened? She passed away too?
No. She didn't pass. It's not passing away. But you know, hold on, I'm gonna pull it up. Hold on a minute. I meant to get this to you because this was interesting. Okay. All right. So allegedly, Judge Hatchett was molested. Yes, Judge Hatchett says holds back tears as she speaks publicly for the first time about groping incident. I didn't know about this until I saw this recently. Judge Glenda Hatchett was emotional about the outpouring of support she received after a sheriff was accused of groping her during an event last year. All right. Channel 2's Michael Selden spoke with Hatchett on Tuesday about the incident, which is the first time she has spoken publicly about it. She told Seiden she couldn't get into the specific details, citing the ongoing criminal case, but she got emotional when she talked about how a Georgia sheriff is accused of groping her last year while inside a hotel bar in Cobb County. Quote, "I really am going to tear up," Hatchett said, holding back tears. Quote, "The love and support that I have gotten from this community, I don't have words to describe it. I am enormously grateful." She is known to so many as TV's Judge Hatchett. An arrest warrant alleges Bleakley County Sheriff Cootie grabbed Hatchett's chest at the Renaissance Atlanta Waverly Bar while attending the Georgia Sheriff's Association's winter meeting in January of 2022. At the time, a spokesman for Cody said he was taking the allegations seriously. Hatchett, the first African-American chief presiding judge of a state court in Georgia, announced Tuesday that she has joined the prominent Atlanta-based law firm Stuart Miller Simons Child Attorneys. Seiden asked her if last year's incident played a role in her decision to join the firm. Quote, "That is a fair question. No, it did not play in my decision to join this firm, and I hope you'll appreciate that, because that case is still in the court system, has not been resolved, on the criminal side that I won't say more than that. Has to say. At last check, Seaton was told that Cody was still working on a plea deal with Cobb County prosecutors. Seaton attempted to get an update from prosecutors on Tuesdays, but he's still working to get the exact status. Now, wait a minute. Plea deal? Hold on now. I think a former president said something about people trying to plead, right? If you're pleading, you must be what? Guilty?
Mm-hmm.
Or possible guilt? You're admitting possible guilt? So in my mind, this guy did it. Now he wants to do a plea deal. What do you think, Janet? Instead of going to court and fighting it.
Well, apparently he's guilty. Usually you don't do a plea deal unless you know you're going to be charged with something. I don't think she would lie. You know, that's what's wrong. A lot of people have the tendency to think when somebody say molestation or rape, you know, that, oh, you must have did something, or what were you wearing? It doesn't matter. Just like this recent case with Donald Trump, the lady, they said that he raped her. He was wondering, he said, oh, you didn't yell? did you save the dress?
Who are you going to yell to, right?
Yeah. You know, and you saved the dress? I mean, that's what Trump's lawyers are asking her, some stupid questions, to the point the judge has had enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. But now with this, though, here, I mean... This sheriff, okay, now I know some folks might say, it shouldn't matter, Mike, but I'm going to tell you, he's white. As a family, this is something that happened a year ago, last year. Why is it taking so long for it to go through the system? And still, again, I said, a plea deal. If someone accused me of something like that, I'm not going to plead. And I know I didn't do it. I'm going to be like, hell no. Just because the judge, she says that I did that and everything. You all ain't got no cameras in here? We're going to investigate this to the fullest. You all have any witnesses? Anybody actually see me do this? That's what I would be doing, okay? I'm just saying, that's just me. That's what I would be doing.
He wouldn't be just doing a plea deal, just to do a plea deal, Michael.
Oh, I understand.
You know,
I'm just saying. I think he believed what Donald Trump had said. Yeah, you could just grab him by the you-know-what. Except he didn't go that far down. He went up top, you know. He just felt like it was okay, since Donald Trump said that a while back. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be funny, but, I mean, some people feel like, yeah, it's okay to do certain things. But it's not. It really isn't. There are consequences. We're going to keep tabs on this and see what the possible plea deal might be. And Judge Hatchett, we're got you in our prayers. Hopefully you can get through this, and this will and what you're doing is very important, so that this don't happen again. Just because some folks think they can do it, they shouldn't. Let's see, our next, and I'm sorry again, you guys, I have to keep going back and forth from my, because I'm broadcasting from my phone.
It's just a click.
Janet, I have my phone in my hand, you have yours. I know what I have to do, okay? I have
click
to click
back and forth,
scroll,
at the bottom.
I have to click and scroll. Okay, so let's move forward. As we move forward, let's look at here. already said Jerry Springer, and okay, so this did not surprise me. It really didn't. The firing of CNN's very own Don Lemon. Obviously, CNN got tired of sour lemons, and Fox News.
Did you read that article, Michael?
Well, hold on, I'm gonna read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let me say my side here first, and I'll let you chime in. Feel like CNN got tired of sour lemons, and Fox News got tuckered out of Carl. I wasn't surprised about Don Lemon, because when they removed him from Don Lemon Tonight and then put him in the daytime with two other co-hosts, I felt like something was up. I really did. I was like, okay.
He started out being early in the morning. He started out like
in the
that
beginning
before he
was
prime.
I know that. But like I just said, but when they removed him from his own show, every anchor loves to have their own show, of course. All right, an anchor hosts their own show, especially one just their name. I mean, Aaron Burnett Tonight. You know, you look at Anderson Cooper. You had Don Lemon. You know, you even had Chris Cuomo. You know, everyone loved to have their own show. But when they removed him from his own show and put him on a different schedule, different show with two other co-hosts, in my opinion, I felt like something was up. I just felt like it. And obviously, that's what happened. They ousted him.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of
saw
that coming. Now, Tucker Carlson, I didn't see that coming, but I understand why.
Don Lemon, he thought it was an honor for him to be on days to help them out. But the issue with him was he was so used to doing his own thing that you can't do that when you got two other people that's a co-host. And you have to stick to the script. And he didn't stick to the script. And he acted like an ASS, and that's the main reason why they got rid of him. And that article I sent.
But I fault CNN to think that the prima donna was going to take a back seat. You can't put this man up here. You know, you got him. He has his own show. Every New Year's, he's there with the other individuals, you know. He's getting tipsy, he's getting buzzed and everything, having a good time, saying things, this and that and the other, you know. You can't take him from this and then expect him to share a show. I mean, that's what I think, that was more than likely the mistake they made. Let me see if I can pull that article up. Oh, crap. See, what you sent me here, that I got to sign into this. But let me see if I can pull it up on something else. It's saying I have to sign in.
You got to sign in. I didn't send you New York Times.
Well, Janet, what I just hit, it said that to continue reading. So,
but it didn't say sign in.
No. To continue reading. You have to put in your email address. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. So I'm going to go ahead and pass that one there. And let's see here. That's what it's telling me. And we don't have time to do that. So let me see if I can pull up something real quick of what he said. Don Lemon, response. Okay. Now it's showing me Tucker Carlson. So anyway, this was who's in there? Oh, now, okay. This is showing me where they parted ways. In the Wikipedia.
So the Washington Post.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I'll try to pull it up.
Yeah, it's not a let me pull that up on my phone.
Well, anyway, I read the story, and Don Lemon, it just came up, I think. I hope it'll let me read it. I said, Don Lemon started the interview as Morning Don. Let me go a little further. How CNN miscast Don Lemon as morning person. Don Lemon started the interview as Morning Don. He leaned back in his chair, legs casually crossed under the glass table on the set of CNN's Still Young morning show last week, and waited his turn to question the Republican presidential candidate, Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't know how to pronounce this last. Ramaswamy or something his name is. But anyway, his co-host, Poppy Harlow, signaled that their discussion was about to turn to China, but Lemon wasn't done with the tech entrepreneur's previous topic, and an attempt to explain recent comments equating to the current day gun control measures with post-Civil War efforts to ban black people from owning weapons. As the host pressed Ramaswamy, whatever his name is, on his logic, suddenly it was prime time. Don was running the show. And it says, when you are in black skin and then you live in this country, then you can't disagree with me, Lemon said. Now, leaning forward and telling Ramaswamy his comments were insulting. I don't want to sit here and argue with you because it's infuriating for you to put those things together. It's not right. You're telling us that history is wrong. It was the kind of intense, probing debate that would have been at home on his old 10 p.m. show. But Don Lemon tonight, jarring for Lemon's latest perch, a morning show marked by an easy conversation between friends about the news of the day, bolstered a CNN-branded journalism. And it says, in what would turn out to be one of his last days on it. So the guy argued back with him, and Harlow sat silently, girding in her chair. Lemon snapped at the producer, seemingly trying to direct him through an earpiece. Please, I can't keep a thought if you guys are talking in my ear. And after Ramaswamy insisted it was insulting for Lemon to say that black Americans still lacking rights after the civil rights movement, Lemon had enough. It's insulting that you're sitting here, whatever ethnicity you are explaining to me what it's like to be black in America, because he's a black man, right? So Lemon, 57, was supposed to be the centerpiece of the new CNN this morning, played by Harlow, 40, and a veteran business reporter, and Caitlin Collins, 31, a CNN rising star who had broken out as a White House correspondent covering the Trump administration. But Lemon, who made headlines for a series of air gaffes and triggered gossip about the strained on-set relationships, was fired on Monday after he may have been flawed casting from the beginning. Show over. And was arguing, telling people that they stop talking to him when he's trying to get his thoughts together. You know, he was acting like he was back on Don Lemon tonight. And that's why his tail got canned.
Well, that's exactly what I just said. I said I saw it coming. Did I not? I said I saw it coming. You cannot take a person who's had his own show. You can't take a prima donna and make them a, you can't make them part of the labor. You can't put them and have them work with somebody else when he's been working for himself. He had his own show. And
but
in his mind, it's like,
said.
Okay, if CNN's plan was, okay, well, Don, you're still the man, but we're going to flank, as you just said, two other individuals so there's some cross conversation between y'all. And let's say
but,
he
but
said, okay,
that
sounds
he was
good.
Floored. He said he was floored when they asked him to do that. He said he was honored that they believed in him, you know, to want him to be part of something big in the morning, to bring the ratings up, you know. So he was like, yo, okay. But he totally forgot that it wasn't his show. He was there with two other people. And when they was trying to direct him, he didn't care. He wasn't moving on to China.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So that's what happened
I'm
to Don Lemon.
That Don Lemon, as I said, I saw that coming. You can't do it. You know, there's a lot of old sayings. You know, you can't teach a dog new tricks. You can't make a person do something, you know, that they're not used to doing and they're not willing to conform to what you want them to do. Don Lemon was not the right choice. They should have known that. Okay.
And he went to Nights. He went from Nights to Days because of a comment he made when he was on Nights about a woman's soccer team. You know, so he got too big for even Nights. Apparently.
Well, again, remember, but also remember again, he and another gentleman, they would, or another woman, would do the New Year's Eve thing, and Don would get sauced. I know I've seen 2 years of Don would drink up some stuff, you know. he's like, you know, I'm not here just to report. I'm here to have some fun. And he'd say whatever's on his mind. That's Don Lemon. But again, you know, it's interesting how that all went down. But also, Tucker Carlson, the individual who was actually ousted a week ago Friday, his final broadcast. He didn't even have a chance to say, this is my final broadcast. They didn't even give him that. They announced and said it after the fact. Because if you look at the video on that final broadcast, he says, we'll see you guys back next week on Monday. No, you won't. Not him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was cause of that? I think it had something to do with the Dominion thing. I think it had a lot to do with that.
Well, yeah, right. But you know, Tucker Carlson, he also was one that had got too big for his britches.
And when you read
that article, are you reading that article, Mike, about Fox News?
I'm trying to pull it up now. 1 second. I say I got to jump from one thing to another. Where is it at? Okay, hold on. Okay, here it is. Let me see if it'll let me pull it up.
If not, I can try to read some. I don't have my glasses, but I can try to read some.
It says Fox is using the New York Times to attack Tucker. That's the one you're talking about? Oh, okay. Fox News hasn't explained to the audience why the number one show on cable television, Tucker Carlson Tonight, is canceled. However, several news stories have leaked out purporting to explain the real reason why. One was that Carlson had used the C word about a female executive at Fox News and had expressed displeasure that Fox's lawyers had managed to redact this from the discovery of the Dominion trial. The Times described it as a catalyst for the decision to fire him, but that can't be the reason, as Carlson had been deposed for this last summer, likely months after Fox's executives and lawyers had reviewed the material themselves. The Times also had an original angle in their story on Carl's Inspiring. It reads this way. In video obtained by the Times, for instance, Mr. Carlson is shown camera discussing his, quote, post-menopausal plans and whether they will approve of how he looks on the air. In another video, he is overheard describing a woman he finds yummy. Put aside the very odd expression, Carlson is shown off camera, which is likely an awkward way of describing a video of him off air, either before or after his show finished taping or during a commercial break. Instead, focusing on the first phrase, in video obtained by the Times. Are there just random videos of the off-air parts of Tucker Carlson tonight just waiting to be discovered by the New York Times? Perhaps these tapes are under highway overpasses. Okay, so I still find it, I think the fact that what he did too, when he did that thing with the videos as far as the January 6th insurrection,
yeah,
and he claims
that they were just
regular. I think that played a major role, more so than the Dominion situation and everything else they're saying. To give him the tapes exclusively, thousands of hours of video, and he picks these particular ones to act like, oh, there was nothing wrong with this day. Everything was fine. I think that played a major role.
Right. He also made comments about some of the higher ups, you know, and so his be careful what you say because it's going to come back on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then to get sued for all that money that they had to pay out, they're being sued by one of the, I guess she was a producer or something of one of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
She's suing. And then, you know, you got the other voting machine people suing, not Dominion, but the other one, the one that you said is smaller. They're not like nationwide, like all over the world, like Dominion was. It was just a couple of states, I think. Yeah. So they had to let somebody go. And it happened to be Tucker.
Well, I find it funny in a way.
The ratings went down.
Well, that's my funny is that here's a right-wing talk show host and left-wing both get fired in the same week. It didn't even take a whole week. And these are two major players in the news media. So it tells you something that they're willing to, you know, get rid of their own in order to save their asses. And really, in both cases, they didn't have any choice. I think they really didn't have any choice because I think that it just would have got worse. So, interesting to see this happen at this point in time. Let me go back here and look at something else. You there?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let me go back to the studio here, and then I'm going to pull up this other thing. I have to refresh the studio on my phone. All right, so I don't think I said anything about this, but I definitely want to go back. Where is it? Oh. We talked about Jerry Springer passing, but I don't think I pulled up Harry Belafonte.
No, you didn't, and that was the first one.
Yeah, okay. See, that's the problem with me having to do this on my phone. I'm missing it, it's putting it in different orders than I really want it to be. Okay. So, as many of us should know by now, the legendary Mr. Harry Belafonte, he was born Harold George Belafonte Jr., March 1st of 1927 in New York City. He died this April 25th at age 96 in New York City. Other names he went by was Harold George Belafonte Jr., Belafonte and Jr., occupation, singer, actor, activist. Music career, oh, calypso, mental, pop, folk, world. It says Belafonte was best known for his recordings of Dale, the Banana Boat song, Jump in the Line, Shake Sonora, Jamaica Farewell, and Mary's Boy Child. Do you guys remember Jump in the Line, or do you remember Jump in the Line?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You remember what movie
I
that
remember
was?
All the
that
movies
was? Okay. He recorded and performed in many genres, including blues, folk, gospels, show tunes, and American standards. He also starred in films such as Carmen Jones, 1954, Island in the Sun, 1957, Odds Against Tomorrow, 1959, Buck and the Preacher, one of my favorites, in 1972, and Uptown Saturday Night, 1974. He made his final screen appearance in Spike Lee's Black KK Klansman in 2018. I didn't see that. I need to check it out. Belafonte considered the actor, singer, and activist Paul Robeson a mentor, and he was close confidant of Martin Luther King Jr. during the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. He was a vocal critic of the policies of the George W. Bush and Donald Trump administrations. Belafonte acted as the American Civil Liberties Union celebrity ambassador for juvenile justice issues. Belafonte won 3 Grammy Awards, including a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, an Emmy Award, and a Tony Award in 1989. He received the Kennedy Honors. He was awarded the National Medal of Arts in 1994 and 2004. He received the Gene Herschel's Humanitarian Award at the Americans' 60th Annual Governors Awards, and in 2022 was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the Early Influence category. Wow.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, that's some remarkable achievements. Truly remarkable achievements.
Right, and they said during the Civil Rights Movement, he used to pay for a lot of the civil rights people who were arrested. He paid their bails for them to get out
So I can believe it.
He was very active.
I know when something like this happens, you know, the family tries to, you know, not get it. But I wonder, has Sherry Belafonte, his daughter, spoke out yet? I'm going to take a look and see. But you remember her. I wonder if she posted anything. I should have looked that up. Because normally, you know, they'll say, you know, in the passing of our, you know, a mom or dad or whatever, and most folks like to have their privacy. But I wonder if she's posted anything to the media on the family's behalf. So I'll have to take a look at that. Wow. Amazing man. Truly amazing. Okay, let's see. We're getting to that. We're at the top of the hour. So I want to bring up one more story real quick before we just take a quick music break. I already talked about Janet Jackson and everything else there. James Brown. Okay, hold on. Okay. Let's look at this one here.
Which one is that, Michael?
Let's look at this one here. This whole deal with Jamie Foxx. Actually, you know what? I think I want to save that one. So we'll keep that after the break because there's a lot involved in that. Let's go ahead and finish out this political thing here. So we're going to jump back into the politics. Mike Pence testifies before special counsel's 2020 election grand jury sources. Former Vice President Mike Pence appeared Thursday before a grand jury investigating former President Donald Trump's role and efforts to overturn the 2020 election sources familiar with the matter told ABC News Pence was inside the courthouse in Washington for more than 7 hours, and his vehicle was later seen leaving by ABC News. Well, eventually it has to leave ABC News. A spokesperson for special counsel Jack Smith declined to comment. He was initially subpoenaed by Smith in February for documents and testimony related to the failed attempt by Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election. The subpoena came after months of negotiations between federal prosecutors and Pence's legal team. Trump unsuccessfully sought to stop Pence's testimony, including by inserting a claim of executive privilege that was rejected late last for the D.C. District Court. James Bossberg. Bossberg ordered Pence to testify before the grand jury and to provide records to Smith, and according to sources, Bossberg ruled that Pence should have to provide answers to Smith on any questions that implicate any illegal acts on Trump's part. The judge, however, did narrowly uphold parts of the separate legal challenge brought by Pence himself, who argued he should be shielded from having to testify on certain aspects related to his role as president of the Senate overseeing the certification of the 2020 election on January 6, 2021. A federal appeals panel on Wednesday rejected a further effort from Trump's legal team to prevent Pence from testifying. Pence said earlier this month that he would not appeal the D.C. District Court ruling and would comply with the grand jury subpoena. Okay. Did that open up a can of worms for Donald Trump? You decide. What do you think?
Well, the chickens are coming home to roost, because it's not just like Pence is the last one that the special counsel needed information from. Everybody else has testified, you know, and all these other hearings are, you know, wrapping up, coming to an end. You know, I feel that whatever he told the special counsel had to be damaging, because only the best thing he could do was corroborate on what other people already had said happened. You know, mm-hmm. Trump was trying. He was trying to get him not to testify, but it didn't make it to the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that they're still going and going and going. But do you think people are really concerned at this point anymore now about it? I mean, it's been going on for some years.
I feel the ones who are concerned about democracy are still concerned about what happened. Because we cannot let someone like that get in the White House again. Because he gets in this time, he's not coming out. He already said he needs a do-over.
Interesting.
And that's the reason why he's trying to run for president, to try to save his hide, because he knows all of these things are coming to a head. You put it off, you put it off, you put it off, and at a point now where you start getting, not as safe as or secure as you should be, and you start making little careless mistakes. He made mistakes, you know? When he said, I need 11,780 and plus one more, that's all I need? Mm-hmm. Fake elector. Stand down, stand by, whatever he told the Proud Boys. Just all the things that he has done, and he got away with it for so long. That's what you say, call him Teflon Don? Well, Teflon Don needs a new set of pots and pans, because they're sticking.
Well, we'll have to see how well it sticks, because it seemed like it's just been a long time.
To those who wait. You can't rush something like this.
Right, right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find the music chart here, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to go back and get out of that there. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's not letting me. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. Okay, so see, now this is crazy. I can't pull up my music clip now. Oh, Lord. Okay, you guys, I'm sorry. All right, so let me go back and okay, let me go back and see if I can find it again and search. All right, so I'm going to go back to another topic since this won't work for me. Okay, so Janet, what's going on with this situation?
Okay,
because Chief Justice Thomas. What's going on with this whole situation with these guys?
Well, the Congress wanted, the House wanted, no, it wasn't the House, it was the Senate. They wanted Chief Justice Roberts to come in and talk about the ethics and things that they could do to make it better because of their, they're at an all-time low on the ratings. But then all these other things are coming out. And when Thomas refused to come in, then you get an article saying his wife, his Chief Justice wife, Jane Roberts, made $10.3 million in commissions. So, and you know, it's like they said something is not clean in the buttermilk or is applied in the buttermilk. I don't know what that phrase is, but it's a lot going on. It's not just, yeah. So it's not just Clarence Thomas. You know, because Gorsuch also had made a land deal, and we know Kavanaugh, they mentioned that some of he had a lot of debt, and then all of a sudden that debt disappeared. So, I mean, what's going on? How can the highest court, we're supposed to rely on the Supreme Court when they're doing shady deals themselves? There's no way that they're being held accountable for the things that they are doing or their spouses, you know. So I can see why Roberts didn't want to come in. If his wife is doing all these different deals, making all this money, I thought Supreme Court justice was supposed to recuse themselves when it's somebody in their family or somebody they know is coming before the court. I thought they were supposed to, like, step aside and not help make that deal go through, you know. It's crazy.
Okay, so
they're going to have to do something soon.
They said that there's nothing that says that a Supreme Court justice can't receive gifts, but not necessarily gifts I guess gifts and stuff. Have you heard that?
No. When you're working in the government, you're not supposed to. It's not just, they said federal judges, the only ones that you're saying is nothing written for is the Supreme Court. But they should have rules just like everybody else because you can be bought. We don't want somebody sitting on a Supreme Court that can be bought by somebody. When people lies and decisions that you're making are you know, putting people's lives at stake.
True.
So then you're seeing the stuff that, like, Jenny Thomas, all the stuff she did, the things that Clarence Thomas did. You know, now you got Robert's wife. What's next?
So why do you think that, I mean, well, this might be a stupid question, but don't you kind of question how come that never was back then? That the Supreme Court really has no rules?
It should have been put in place a long time. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
But they thought that they were supposed to know that they're supposed to recuse themselves if something, if somebody is going before them and it's a personal, it's personal. You're supposed to step aside. That's the right thing to do, but apparently it doesn't matter with them, you know. I don't think it should be a lifetime appointment anymore. I think they need to put a term limit on it.
Now, I agree with that.
It's a term limit on all the other judges. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that should be in any that there should be a term. I don't think that you should be there for the rest of your life. Yeah, I definitely.
So
agree
I felt
that.
Like Thomas wasn't looking at things because he's it's not clean with him either, you know. So you overlook when other people are doing something and you know it's not right. But people are losing all their faith in the Supreme Court. That's the highest court. Once you go there, there's no point of no return, you know. And you got crooked people up there.
That's true. Very interesting. You're definitely right. Let's go ahead. I think I got my board back up here. Let's take a quick music break. The time is now 7:15 p.m. on the East Coast. You're listening to TMGS on the TMGN. We'll be right back.
This love thing doesn't really make much sense. We try our hardest and it seems like we can't win. But I'm your lover and your friend, yeah. And we can get there if we both walk hand in hand. I do my part and you do yours. You make the bed, I'm on the floor. We share the songs and smiles, carry each other mile for mile. Whisper the difference if we need. I'll pay for you pay for me. We'll never know if we don't try. Can't be too sure till we decide. Me and you do yours. You make the bed, I'm on the floor. We share the songs and smiles, carry each other mile for mile. Whisper the difference if we need. I'll pay for you pay for me. We'll never know if we don't try. Can't be too sure till we decide. Meet me.
Welcome back to TMGS. That is Mr. Ellison Kendrick Halfway. Oh, man. Janet,
yeah, I love it.
I love that track. That is
me
awesome.
Me too.
This
I was
awesome.
Gonna
you
ask you, was that Ellison? I was gonna ask
yeah,
you, was that him? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Y'all can check him out. He's on YouTube. He's on Spotify, all platforms, Mr. Ellison Kendrick. Awesome brother, awesome brother. He shares a lot of stuff on social media, so just look for him. And he's going to be coming back, joining us this summer again as he keeps pumping out great music. All right, so we're going to get into this whole thing with Jamie Foxx. Mm. First of all, I want to say, glad to hear that he's doing better. Glad that he's doing better by far. Because,
mm-hmm.
As you guys know, he was taken to a hospital here in Georgia while on a movie set and had a very serious health complication, a health issue. But no one's really telling what was really the problem, what was the issue. It has been said that he had had a stroke. Or heart attack.
And he had to be revived, you know. So
correct.
He died, you know. That's serious.
You know, a lot of
and
people
don't
look at it that way, but you do have a point that you know a lot of folks don't realize that when your heart stops, you're clinically dead. Man, you are clinically dead. When your heart stops, that's
mm-hmm.
it. Unless you're revived within time and within a certain amount of time, because if it takes too long, then you will suffer probably some brain damage, probably a host of other things. But, yeah, when your heart stops, that's very serious. But still, again, this whole thing of where he has come forward, and there's things of where he has claimed that people are trying to kill him. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I heard you tell me. That
yeah,
people
I,
said
yeah,
someone
what,
was trying to
yeah,
kill him on the set.
Mhm. And they already plan on continue to film this movie using his stunt double. Again, you guys, I apologize that it's taking me some time to pull this stuff up because for some reason I'm having some issue with my laptop, and so I have to do the whole show on my phone, which I've never done before, but I'm trying to do. Today. So let me click on this article real quick and let's see if we can find out a little more information here.
There's two articles. One is about Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, I saw that one. I want to go to that later. I want to go to this one here. Academy Award winner Jamie Foxx experienced a medical emergency that left him unresponsive before he had to be resuscitated on April 11, 2023. Foxx was rushed to an Atlanta hospital. Notice they don't tell you what hospital. But after falling deathly ill while shooting the film back in action. Quote, Jamie suffered a serious medical episode and needed immediate attention. A source close to the situation revealed it was touch and go for days with him, and he had to be revived. He is very lucky to be alive. So right there, that tells you something. Because of the care that Foxx received in the emergency room, he was stabilized, but the incident could have been a tragedy due to the severity and suddenness of his health scare. Quote, he's very lucky he got the treatment he did, stated another source. After much speculation, it was revealed that Foxx suffers from hypertension and the complications from the disease took its toll on the actor. Quote, Jamie suffers from high blood pressure, which doctors say can cause clots in the brain leading to a stroke, said the insider. Doctors believe this was a long time coming, and really, if they hadn't acted fast, Jamie might well have been a goner. When news broke that Foxx had fallen ill, many offered prayers and well wishes for a speedy recovery, including fellow comedy icon Martin Lawrence. I hear he's doing better from what I hear, Lawrence said to Extra. My prayers go out for him every night, and I just wish the best for him. On April 12th, Corinne Foxx's daughter took to Instagram to share her father's health issues also. Now, again, they, and I want to cut right there. It's not being revealed what actually happened. They're telling you a little bit of what could have happened. You know what I mean? What could have, you know, the symptoms and this and that and the other. But they're not flat out saying, yeah, he had a stroke. Yeah, he had a heart attack. They're not doing that. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they would rather let it come from him. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they have to respect his privacy. So when he comes out and let us know what's going on, then, you know, we'll know. So I think they're just following his orders.
But now with this, with the allegations and the accusations, first of all, okay, there's been a lot of allegations, accusations, and which he said, people trying to kill him. I don't know if you know about this whole thing, but, you know, P. Diddy's name has come up in this. We all know who P. Diddy is. And some folks in social media have been saying, well, you know, P. Diddy is possibly responsible for the deaths of many individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Porter, his wife, allegedly she had some videotapes of P. Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs, whatever you want to call him, being in some really questionable, or better yet, some embarrassing situation with other individuals, particularly rappers. And a lot of rappers are starting to stay clear from him because they, some have said, even his former bodyguard, that there's been some really questionable things and some freaky stuff happening at the Diddy house, you know, these wild parties and everything. And there's video of Jamie Foxx sharing some of that information about these parties. And some people are saying, yeah, B. Diddy had to have something to do with this. Now, there's no proof of it. Would you think that P. Diddy would have someone off like that? Keep in mind, I mean,
well,
you look at some individuals. Go ahead.
Martin Lawrence says that someone tried to kill him. He confirms it. He says someone tried to kill Jamie Foxx. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said Martin Lawrence has broken silence on Jamie Foxx's mysterious medical condition, and fans are saying that his situation is very similar to something that you just got through talking about. I can't get more. I was trying to read more. Oh, more. Martin Lawrence has broken his silence on Jamie's mysterious medical condition, and fans are saying his situation is very similar to Martin's infamous 1996 breakdown when he claimed someone tried to kill him. Jamie Foxx is still in the hospital recovering from an undisclosed and serious medical condition, and fans are getting increasingly worried for Jamie because there's so much speculation in the media about his condition, and yet no one knows for sure what happened.
But again, you know, I'm kind of interested in the fact that here comes P. Diddy's name, who comes up. And if you look at, I mean, you can go and look, and I don't believe everything I see or hear on social media, but here's the actual video of Jamie Foxx saying about these particular parties, these particular events. And not just Jamie Foxx, the former bodyguard, as I said, has mentioned these things where he saw Ja Rule,
you know, someone else
coming
out
the room.
I just read someone just said, I knew the higher-ups would come for Jamie eventually because he was secretly dating Tom Cruise's ex-girlfriend, Katie Holmes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I got a hand up here. I'm going to open up there, Mike, 559-681-559-681. Let me open up that mic. And welcome to TMGS. Your mic is open. How you doing?
You don't
I think
know.
I recognize this.
You don't know who now. You should know my number by now. Come on. Hey, how are you?
Fine.
You know your number, and number by now.
Okay. What the heck did they tell me? What this was? I was going to say it. Boo, baby, or boy, big, I don't know. Hey, this is Mama D. You know, also, hey, though, Michael, if you don't mind me putting in another thing, there's another article that, you know, Cameron Diaz had retired from acting, and Jamie mm-hmm. Foxx came to her and asked her, you know, with this movie that they were filming right now, and basically mm-hmm. really begged her to come out of retirement to do this movie. So she went ahead and she decided to go ahead and do it. But then crazy things happened on the set because Cameron Diaz actually mm-hmm. was kind of sorry that she had come back because for some reason Jamie Foxx had reported, had fired the senior producers and and he was also accusing crew members of stealing $40,000.
Yeah.
And she said the further the situation and the result of imaginable stress was probably due to all the unpleasant situations he had to face as his new role on the set. And it just was that he had just, like I said, fired a bunch of members, thought this money was missing. And it said that Cameron Diaz was even thinking about retiring again due to the set drama. And she went ahead, though, you know, she's obviously because of her contract, she has to finish the filming of this. But, you know, when you talk about things, you know, you hear how, just as an example, you know, when you go back to, I'm thinking of like Lisa Marie Presley, who sadly passed mm-hmm. the day after you know, an award. And it mm-hmm. was, she died of a heart attack, but, heart attack slash stroke. But you got to remember that she also had underlying conditions because she was a recovering addict. Even her dad,
correct.
Elvis Presley, died from a heart attack. But again, underlying conditions, he also was an addict. Well, Jamie Foxx, all of this going on, and they're trying to say, okay, well, he has high blood pressure that could lead to blood clots. But it's just like you're saying, they're not saying exactly what. Well, you know, I actually heard, and I mentioned it on our show this morning, that somebody was trying to say, oh, it was a result because he had the COVID shot, apparently, the COVID vaccination. Mm-hmm. And some people have had, because they've now found that's one of the side effects that can happen in certain people that have underlying conditions like his high blood pressure. So now they're finding that, you know, there's actually people that should not have gotten that vaccination. And so, I mean, you know, that's just one of the conspiracies. But the thing that I'm kind of curious about, and I don't know this, you know how you always only hear rumors and what is true mm-hmm. and behind closed doors, who knows, right? But
right.
If you think about it, if he did drugs, which – I kind of think he did, but I'm not going to say he does because mm-hmm. I don't know. Say he did do drugs too, but now he's had this heart attack or stroke, and he did have to be revived, and they got it back. But you don't think they're going to blame it on, especially since they were able to revive him, they're not going to blame it on that. It's going to be something like just what you're hearing. Oh, the high blood pressure. Oh, there was so much stress on the set because of him mm-hmm. firing this and there was all this going on. He just went into overload.
Mm-hmm,
but he's so, you know, it does kind of make you wonder. And then and when you were talking about Tom Cruise's dating Tom Cruise's ex, you know, and all this, the other thing is, you know, this is where the other conspiracy I've heard come into play, and don't laugh at me, Michael, is they just slipped in his doppelganger. he's no longer Jamie Foxx. He is now an AKA Stepford wife.
Oh, Lord. Isn't that cute? That's just
an
cute
AKA
conspiracy.
You know, there's so, and that's the thing, so much conspiracy theories out there. And I'm glad that you caught that when I said it, that where they have not put it out there. But yeah, maybe they just don't, I mean, he doesn't want to. It's up to him. You know, it's going to be interesting when he fully recovers. And you know, Hollywood is going to Sherry Shepherd and everybody else is going to want him to come on the show and tell us what really happened. You know what I mean? That's going to come about at some point in time. And
oh, of course.
How much of the truth are we going to get? You know, how much of the truth are we going to get from Jamie Foxx? you know.
We're not.
And I'm sorry?
We're not going to get.
What did you say?
I said
we probably won't get the truth, but how will he explain it away then? Okay, yeah, you got a good point. How will he explain it away? There's some actors, some artists that they don't really want to discuss it. You know, they already said what they wanted to say, this and that. You know, they always have a way of trying to dodge the conversation. But again, I keep asking, what is this with P. Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs? His name comes up in this whole thing. And, you know, if you look at the history of him, and him and Jamie have been knowing each other for many years. Again, I say that Jamie Foxx, there's many, you can go to YouTube and look at many of recordings, even when he's done some late night shows where he was talking about going to P. Diddy's parties. And, man, there was stuff going on you wouldn't believe. You know, that's insinuating. And there's some folks who say, yeah, there was a lot of alcohol, drugs. You know, Jamie Foxx said that P. Diddy paid for a party that was over $1 million. And so Jamie Foxx told him that I could do a party for you that would be no more than $500. And he says this. Now, this is Jamie Foxx saying that Diddy felt kind of insulted at first, but, you know, when he came into L.A. one time, he said, go ahead and make it happen. And Jamie Foxx had a bunch of Kentucky Fried Chicken and Kool-Aid and wine glasses and stuff like that, you know. I mean, you kind of wonder about all this stuff by Jamie Foxx sharing so much information. Again, the bodyguard says this about P. Diddy and everything. But how does P. Diddy's name come into this conversation about Jamie Foxx? This is what social media is saying. Did Jamie Foxx feel too much about stuff? They claim there's many videos out there that haven't been shown to the public. And again, like I said, Porter, his wife, she mysteriously, she dies and of pneumonia. Apparently that's what the report was. But there's claims that she had video stuff. The bodyguard says, here's P. Diddy coming out the room with Ja Rule, and all they got on is just towels. They go into a room and in a room by themselves. You know, if you're an artist, an entertainer, you know, and if you're a switch hitter, I'm sorry, did I say that? But, you know, I ain't talking baseball. You're a switch hitter, then okay, accept it. Come out the closet, deal with it, or you're afraid that's going to mess up your fan base and everything. Now, let's look at this, too. I don't know for sure. I'm not accusing of I'm not making no accusations that P. Diddy is gay or whatever, but there's been some gay moments that you see on video. Am I right or wrong? Have any of you seen these?
No.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
So what man tells another man, I want to take you shopping? Come on, now. Unless it's father and son. You know, what man tells another man who has money, I want to take you shopping? That's kind of questionable. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
What man has a 10-year-old boy who winds up being a hell of a superstar living at his home and then during an interview says, we'd wake up together in the morning, and then goes, oh, shit. And then try to recant, or not recant, but try to rephrase what they were saying. And that's a real recording. I mean, it is kind of questionable. And then again, when you said about Jamie Foxx doing drugs, I believe Jamie Foxx did drugs. I don't know which ones, but I believe he got high. Very few people in Hollywood did not do drugs. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
In my opinion, very few. They may not got hooked on it, may not got addicted, but they did experiment. Many did experiment.
What's that religion that Tom Cruise is involved in?
Scientology.
Yeah.
Right.
Scientology.
Yeah, Yeah, and if Jamie was going with his girlfriend, he might, you never know. There's a lot of things that are happening But as far as coming out the closet, that's for that individual to decide when they want to do that. But it's not for anybody else to pass judgment.
Oh, true enough. True enough. But back to what I was saying is that where this name comes up, right? P. Diddy's name comes up. The videos are coming up, the conversations. People have said that where, you know, and I said this already, but of where that maybe he got upset because Jamie Foxx spoke so much on it and everything. Now, some folks might say, well, those recordings were sometime back. But, you know, sometimes people may forgive, but they don't forget, you know. You know, some folks, if they want to get revenge, they don't do it at the same damn day. They might wait a while. Okay, that's one thing. I know one thing of one of my brothers taught me, when you least expect it, you know, you did something bad to him, he wouldn't retaliate right then and there. Okay. It could be 3-4 weeks, a month later, and all of a sudden he'll just punch the hell out of you. Be like, what the hell was that for? Remember 4 months ago when you said, damn, you still salty about that shit? He literally would. So a retaliation can come at any time. But, you know, I'm just looking at what social media, what folks are saying. And, again, I say I don't believe everything that they're saying. But you look at the timing of all this. You know, you look at the timing of all this. I appreciate Mama D for chiming in. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I didn't think about that, about the movie situation and, you know, the considering of Cameron Diaz being in this movie and her coming out of retirement. You know, I forgot all about that part of it, you know, because she's to pull her out of retirement must take a lot. You know what I mean? but I'm really curious to see what is Jamie Foxx going to say after this point once he's fully recovered. And I'm curious about the outcome of the movie. Now, we all know once they complete the filming and schedule release, everybody's going to want to go see it. Am I right?
Now, I agree. But, Michael, you know, looking at a thing. Now, supposedly this came out 2 days ago, and I do know that Jamie Foxx is awake at the hospital because, you know, his daughter Corrine and everybody has been saying that he is awake and all this stuff. But this claim, and this goes along with what you've been saying, this was 2 days ago. It said that Jamie Foxx claimed that Diddy tried to kill him for compromising him, and it just what you were just saying, and for letting him out, that he, letting it be known that he was a what his sexuality was, that he was actually gay, and he's saying that he thinks that because he let that out, he's right now he's saying he believes, and I like I said, it says shocking proof that Diddy poisoned Jamie Foxx. And that's what the industry is saying now, is they believe that P. Diddy actually poisoned him, and he's saying that Diddy tried to claim him. So, you know, maybe that's the other reason why we're not hearing the true reasoning of what his medical condition is, because it's very possible that there's actually a criminal investigation out on this right now. And if so, then, they wouldn't say anything.
Yep, because they're going to look at a toxicology report, because once they took his blood, you know, they're going to test it for everything, you know, anytime he goes. So they're going to test it for everything. And then they're going to retrace or try to retrace everything he ate, everything he drank, you know what I mean? So you're right. There's probably an ongoing investigation, and that's probably why they are not saying exactly what the cause of this illness was. That's great.
Especially
but,
a poison in him, you know?
That's interesting. I'm glad that you looked that up and shared that with us. You know, like I said, and you have to question these things. Again, Kim Porter, hell, even look at, you know, there's some folks who believe that Diddy had something to do with the death of both Tupac and Biggie. There's a lot of folks who think that. Now, imagine if something came out about that, whoa, that's going way back.
And keep in mind that no one was convicted of either one of those murders. No one. Again, I'm not saying point the finger at Diddy, but for Diddy to be in or better yet, for Martin Lawrence to say what he said, for Jamie Foxx to say what he says, that don't look good for Diddy, seeing how close he was to both Tupac and Biggie. So they might reopen those investigations, right? And go and backtrack for the whole thing. We're talking a while back. Forensic medicine has changed since then. Investigating has changed since then. They might have missed something. Maybe something was not available at that time that's available now. So, yeah, this is heating up. This is really heating up to be something that I'm sure it's going to keep building. I'm sure that people are going to keep questioning. But
I'm looking at YouTube where Jamie Foxx said someone from the hospital, he said someone tried to kill him. I was trying to pull up the article, you know, but it's going to all come out.
Yeah, it was actually, you had to watch the YouTube video to hear the thing. That's the one I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And again, you have to hear it from, because, you know, I've seen some stuff on Facebook where there's a narrator that shows you clips and this and the other. So those I don't truly believe. I look at the ones on YouTube of the actual actors that are involved, you know, the people like Jamie Foxx, P. Diddy, so on and so forth, speaking with their own voices. That's what I listen to. If you look at, like I said, The Bodyguard, what he said, you know, you had a place, you know, buying butt plugs, and then all of a sudden you go on to visit someone's house and you disappear in a room with them, you know, for hours. That might kind of say something, you know.
Definitely.
Mhm. That might say something. What was the other thing? There was someone else who spoke up. Oh, was it Damon Dash? I think. Damon Dash or someone. I don't want to put anybody's name in here and they're not part of it, but I think it was Damon Dash. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he was saying, you know, don't ask me. You know, he's like, you need to ask him. See, you interviewing me, that these are questions you need to ask him. But he was part of the business. He knew what the hell was going on, you know. I'm sorry, it wasn't Damon Dash, so I take that back. That was a different situation. So I wonder, once the movie's released, or before the movie is released, you know, with the publicity of all this, we already said that I'm sure everybody's going to run and go see it. Would you go see it, Janet?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna watch it, but I'm not going to the movies to see it. You know how I'm going to see it.
Yeah, exactly. Mama B, would you go watch it, or would you be really interested?
I'll wait for it to come to the TV. I won't go to the theater.
I seldom go to theaters myself. Anything else anybody wants to share about this? Because this is gonna be in the news for a little while. Nope. Okay. We have roughly a little less than 15 minutes left on the show. I want to see if we can squeeze in one more quick topic. Again, I'm running the show off my cell phone today. Everything from the itinerary to the board to talking to you. And this is the first time I've done this. This is crazy. I've never had to do this before because I'm having some issues with my laptop. So I'm going to go back to the studio, and then I'm going to go ahead. So, Janet, what did I miss out of the itinerary? Can you see it on your end?
Yes, I think you just about covered everything. Hold on.
Okay.
We kind of breezed over the Supreme Court justices, but, I think you just about covered everything.
I think I covered everything. Okay, great.
So Michael, I have to give you a back time if you don't mind for a second. Do you know when we do the show, when we do Real and Raw? You know, I operate the board. Do you know that I always operate the board from my – well, not – for the last 5 months, I've been having to operate the board from my phone because it's – my health is not the best, and so it's too hard to do it there. Mm-hmm. So I actually – because Courtney, you know, doesn't operate the board. I actually operate the board from my phone and do everything from my phone. And you're not kidding when you say it's kind of hard when you're trying to go back and, you know, look at this or look up a story. And that's why, you know, Courtney will tell me, you know, Mom, take yourself off speaker. And I'm like, you want me to read this or you don't want me to read this? I can't do both. I got to read it. I got to be able to see it. So it makes it a lot harder when you're doing everything from the phone. I agree.
I do 100%. Everything from the phone. But I'm used to it. I do everything
I've gotten used to it, too. That's the thing. I've gotten used to it. It took a while, but I definitely got used to it. And
I do flyers and everything from the phone. I don't use a computer. The itinerary,
I even keep track of the chat room. You know, the chat room, you have to open. You have to open the chat room on your phone. You can't open it on the computer if you want to look at it on your phone. So, and that's weird. Yeah. I found that out. Yeah. So, you know, and that's the other thing is when you're trying to watch the calls, keep track of the, you know, make sure if anybody's down in the chat room talking and, you know, get it in. And, but I'm like her. I have definitely gotten to the point where I'm used to it now. But it does take some, it takes some getting used to.
Well, thank you, because it's my first time doing a whole show from the phone, you know, and doing everything, you know, trying to look up the topics as we just went over. And you know, knowing what to click and what not to click, you know, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of time. I get that. I'm just used to – I have two laptops, and I also have a desktop, but I'm having an issue with the monitor on it. I can easily hook it up to my television, but – I got two laptops, and for some reason I'm having an issue with getting the Wi-Fi to connect to them. The Wi-Fi is connecting to my television and everything else, but I can't do the show from there. But I'm going to fix the problem, but I'm going to keep in mind on how to get in practice in the event of an emergency, and I have to use the phone, make it a little bit easier.
The three lines at the bottom brings all the screens up, and all you got to do is scroll back and forth. But you can see everything.
Yeah, I just like using my laptop because it's a larger screen and I can read it better. And it gives a better, you know, and Mama, I'm sure you can contest to this because you've done both, right, where on a laptop, you get everything on that screen, where on the phone you got to scroll from screen to screen or switch. But as far as when it comes to Blog Talk, right?
Yes, but like I said, when you get you know what? Actually, when we the first time I actually had to do it, believe it or not, Michael, is when we went to the Water of Life Symposium in Las Vegas. AK wanted us because it was. You know, that was part of the time. So we did the show live from inside the symposium. And so that's when the very first time I was running the board and doing everything. And so then we were doing, you know, we were interviewing different people on air at the time. Mm-hmm. And so Courtney was going around with her phone because she was called in. I'm operating the board. And then, you know, we're having to do all this. And so that was the very first time that I learned, and it's like what Janet was just saying, when you learn how to push it, which button to press so it comes up, it makes it so much easier. But when you are on the computer, it is a lot easier because you have the phone all here, you have the chat all here, you have the songs all here, and you really, you can see it. And the other thing is the screen is bigger. And I agree, I have a big computer monitor. But it is. There's so much easier. I mean, really, when you're able to see it bigger on there, it's just that for health and comfort purposes, it's easier for me to operate everything right now from where I'm at.
Right, I understand that, yeah.
But I want to, I'm glad I was able to join you, Michael. I'm sorry I didn't get to join you at the first hour because I did have a client, but I came on as soon as I could, and I've enjoyed your show, and I just wanted to thank you for always supporting our show, too, and I just wanted to let you know that I really try to support your show, but unfortunately, tax season is slowing down, but California, you know, has been given an extension until October 16th to file taxes for the state and federal. So because of that, I actually am not done with tax season. So when I have a lot of clients that want weekends because they work during the week, so that's why, mm-hmm. for the most part, I haven't, but I did at least get a chance today to hear the last part of your show, and I very much enjoyed it. And I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you always supporting our show, too, and taking the crap
I really do appreciate you for chiming in because you said that, unfortunately, you'll be busy earlier when I was hearing your show and chiming in, and I was surprised when I saw you pop up. So I truly appreciate it, and I know what you're saying. Tax season, a lot of different states have been given extensions due to fires and all kinds of different things that have happened in certain areas. So people are getting extended time to file their taxes, thanks to people like Mama D for doing that type of service. And, even after tax season, I'd love for you to still be a guest to prepare folks for the next season, what to look forward in the future. You know, because I'm pretty sure people keep on top of this type of thing.
You know, Michael, that is so true. People need to do that. They're not prepared, mm-hmm. and especially when there's changes. Yeah, I would be happy to. You let me know when, and I would be more than happy to.
You let me know when you're available, and we will definitely schedule you for the show because, folks wait till the last minute. In fact, before the deadline, recently, you guys know I work at Walmart. Walmart, my store, used to carry the tax, where you could buy the download and everything.
The
the software. The day before filing deadline, unbelievable how many people came there. You guys got the software for? No. I'm like, you wait the day before to come and try to find the software? That's how
I love it this year because I have so many clients that always wait to the last minute. And so they're like calling me. Now, see, April 18th was theoretically the last day, right, if mm-hmm. you didn't have this extension. Well, you can't believe how many of my clients were calling me to cram in sometime between the 15th and the 18th to get their taxes done. I'm like, I'm already booked. But, hey, we'll schedule you into next week. But then it's going to be late. I'm like, no, we have an extension. I can't believe how many people don't realize that we were given an extension.
Mm-hmm. Because people don't pay attention. Yes, I'd love to have that conversation and definitely get folks to chime in. And you share a lot of knowledge about it. You've been doing tax for how many years, if you don't mind me sharing?
48.
Wow. Y'all hear that? 48 mm-hmm. years. So there's no doubt this woman knows what she's doing. Okay. 48 years. That's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. You want to add something else?
No, I just said, wow. That's what happens when you spend a lot of time. Because I was working in the field that I was in for over 40 years. So I can imagine, it becomes like second nature to you.
That's why all my clients keep asking me, because, I'm going to be 66 this year. And all my clients keep asking me, they're worried about me retiring. And they're like, well, does your daughter want to take over? And she is adamantly, absolutely, positively 100% is a no on that. And they ask her why not, and the answer is plain and simple. She says, because I see what my mom goes through. And she says, my mom is so knowledgeable in that, and with all the changes every year and how unprepared people are, and they don't have this and they don't have, she says, I couldn't do it. She says, I don't know how my mom has the patience for it. And I'm like, well, you have to. but I think right now my goal is we just filed the tax year of 2022 in 23. So I think right now my goal is that when we're filing the tax year of 2025, which will be in 2026, that probably will be when I retire. That's tentative.
But I'm sorry, but you're going to be how old again?
I'll be 66 this year.
Okay, so when I did the math, you've been doing taxes since you were 18?
Yep.
Okay, we have to have
sure
you on the show. Straight out of high school. Boom, taxes.
Yep.
That's great.
And that's exactly what it was, straight out of high school doing taxes.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I'm not
yep,
going to ask you all
time.
The questions that I'm going to ask you on the show because it's
no
going to be really interesting, a great conversation. Because one thing I remember back when I was in school, there was something that a teacher told me. Says, you know, there's only two things you have to do in this world, pay taxes and die. And you know what? I looked at him crazy then, but when you really look at it, you do have to pay taxes. You know, at some point in your life, you're paying taxes every day. Everything you buy, there's tax. Everything you know, there's tax. There's no getting around it. And you have to file, you know, so one way or the other. So I think that would be a great conversation. I think that would be, with your knowledge and your 40 years of experience, I'd really be honored to have you come on and share this. A lot of folks will probably learn a lot. Might have been doing the right thing, might have been doing the wrong thing each year, not looking at the benefits or better yet, the write-offs that they could use. I was surprised to learn, and I don't know how often the tax codes or whatever changes that I was looking at where folks can write off their animals and stuff like that, you know, depending, right? You could write off dog food, and I'm like, wait a minute, how do you write off dog food? People have done that since in your 40 years.
Well, I guess if it's a business, that's part of your
right.
business expense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. That's a business. So let's
Michael,
say, for instance, like here in Georgia.
You know, you'd be surprised
Georgia,
what people.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you'd be surprised what people try to do, especially when it comes to their animals. And, you know, the thing is no, you can't write that kind of stuff off unless it's at your business. But it is funny. I will have to save a couple of stories for when you do have me on because I actually have some really funny stories when it involves taxes and people. Because, you know, I worked for IRS, you know, for 25. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have some stories about animals because before, back when I first started and you put your dependents down, you did not have to put a social security number. You put a name, and that was, you know, basically you put a name and a relationship, right? How many people think their dogs are their kids? Okay. And then all of a sudden you would have all these expenses, and they would get audited, and all of a sudden we would have these medical bills, and they were from veterinaries. And it's like, what? And they claimed their animals as their dependents, which is one of the reasons why they changed. And you now have to have social security numbers, dates of birth,
wow.
for your dependents.
Wow, that's crazy.
My thing of my dogs is my dependents because they eat whatever I eat. If I eat steak, they eat steak.
Wow. Yeah, that's the same with my dog.
Janet has two dogs.
That's the same with my dog.
Those are her kids there. We have to say that. We have to say that. All of that. Definitely. It's going to be a great conversation. And people, as you said, need to be prepared for next year because things change every year. We went just a couple of minutes over, and I did that I did that on purpose because I definitely want to share that. Before we get out of here, I want to ask you ladies one question. What do you like? And I know this is coming off the top of your head. First, I want to ask Mama D, what do you like about what you do or you did? And what do you miss
about what you do did, and that would be for Janet, because Janet's retired. But what do you love, Mama D, about what you do, which we already
know, Michael, like I said, I worked for IRS, and believe it or not, I really liked my job there. I was an auditor, subject matter expert. I was a supervisor and all this stuff. But I really like, because believe it or not, I like helping people. And, you know, when you know the tax laws and you have these people that are just at their wit's end and everything, and the reason I still do it and opened my own business after I retired from there is because I can't stand the fact that the businesses now like H&R Block and Jackson Hewitt and all those, they charge per form. And so some they come in and they try to charge these people $500 and $600, and it's ridiculous to me. And I don't do that. And that's the thing is, Michael, I like helping people. I like helping them understand that IRS is not the big bad bully that everybody thinks it is. No, you're not going to go to jail unless you really are committing like a big old fraud of some kind. But I actually like people and helping people. And that's what I loved doing then, and I love doing now. I love when when somebody comes to me and they're in a big mess, and all of a sudden I help them straighten it out, and they're like just all relieved, and they're just so thankful and grateful, and you can just see it. That just makes my day when I can really help somebody. So that's
mine. Okay. Janet? I know you're retired, but what is it that you love so much about your job? What you miss?
I'm like Mama D. I also like working with people and helping. And so the job I had, I was like the police over everybody. I had to make sure everybody did what they were supposed to do in order to get the job completed. You know, I was a planner. It was a major defense contracting, and I did it for over 40 years. And I like it, you know. I could step right back in and do the same thing that I was doing before. But even though I'm not working, I still help people. I do things for people.
You never, you know what, Janet, I don't think you ever lose that. When you're a person helper or people person helper, to me, I think that person's going to be that way their whole life.
Me, I've been that way my whole life, and I'm not going to stop now, you know.
Me neither.
I'm always doing for others, yeah.
Yep, I feel the same way.
We'll get our reward in the end.
And how about you, Mike? How about you, Michael? What's your answer?
To my own question?
Yeah,
what
you know
I'm
not going to let you get off with not answering your own question.
Well, just you know, it's very rare that you have or that you hear people say what you ladies just said. And I'm the same way. Otherwise, I wouldn't be still in the retail business. Well, Jan already knows that. I worked in the construction industry. I've dabbled in the music industry, this and any other. Been a DJ, blah, 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 blah. Been an owner of a business, or two businesses, actually, in my lifetime. But it all comes back to helping people. Because as you help people, what I'm hearing is that those same people will come back to help you. You don't get to a certain point without help. I don't think anybody in the world gets to where they are without some help to get there. Nobody.
That's true.
No matter what.
Very true.
When people claim I did it, you know, on my own. No, you didn't. I don't buy that story. You didn't do it on your own. You had someone who cared about you, who thought about you, who gave you constructive criticism about what you were doing, didn't cuss you out, didn't beat you down, but uplifted you. What I do now, this show, because I enjoy it. I enjoy bringing people together. And I learn from people like yourselves. I've learned a lot from everybody who's ever called this show. I've learned something about them, you know, which in turn teaches me about people. See? Every day when I'm at Walmart, I'm in the electronics department, I learn the knowledge of folks and the ignorance of folks. And I know the difference between the two. So then some folks, and ignorance is not a bad word the way that people claim it to be. If you're ignorant of something, it means you don't know, you don't understand, right? It's not always a bad word. It depends on how you use it and say it, the tone of voice you use. But and some folks might disagree with me, but no, there are some folks who openly say, I have no clue what I'm doing. Can you help me with this? And then, you know, I might spend damn near an hour with this person and going around and around about the same thing I already told them, but I stay patient. See what I'm saying? I stay patient because I'm like, okay, obviously you're not understanding, so I have to put it in layman's terms. Can't use the big words. I have to break it down, right? And then when they come back, they're like, hey, what you told me, it worked. Like Mama D just said, it makes me feel a certain way. I'm like, thank you, Lord. They finally got what I was, took an hour or two explaining it. So for me,
exactly.
helping people, you know. Now, some people piss me off. I ain't going to lie. I'd be like, Jesus Christ, do you not hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? You know, sometimes I feel that way. I'm human. But then I try to stay patient. But like Mama D said, and like Janet just said, you know, I can do what I do all day long, and I have an enjoyment of doing so. I might be tired mentally or physically, but I'm like, I'm glad I got the job done. You know what I mean? So that's my answer, you know, basically in a nutshell. I get some satisfaction. I get some satisfaction, and I'm proud of myself. I don't have to ask anybody, did I do a good job? I have confidence I did the right thing, and I accomplished what I was supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But, Michael, I'm one of these people who no one has ever had to tell me what to do or show me. I know how to figure things out. You know, I'm serious.
Well, and that's fine to have that type of confidence, but I'm the type of person that if I come across something that, you know, I have no knowledge of whatever, for me, I can, you know, toy with it and figure it out. But I mean, because even on my job, I get folks who try to tell me something I already know, but they probably don't know I already know. In fact, every day almost on my job, some of my supervisors be like, well, Mike, this is what we want you to do. We want you to be, and I like, And I just listen. I'm like, In my mind, I'm thinking, I already know this, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let them do their spiel, you know, because technically they have to explain it to you, right? Technically they have to be confident in their mind.
Can I finish?
Technically, because if they don't do their job and I do something wrong, they're going to be feeling like, or they might be blamed like, well, did you explain to him blah, 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 blah? Okay, I'm just saying. Because that's
how
companies work.
Well, I am the one that did the explaining. I always was the one that did the explaining.
Okay. Right, but still in the game, as I was saying, I let them give their spiel, just like where I work at now. You know, it's like, well, you know how to do this and that. Well, this is what you have to do and everything. And I'm like, okay. And I listen to them. And I'm like, well, actually, I've done this for about 15 years. And so I do have a gist of what's going on. Maybe your way, I should say, maybe the process or the equipment might be a little bit different. But it's pretty much the same. See, when I started at Walmart, they threw me on a register without even training me whatsoever because I'm in electronics. I have to ring up the customers too, not only having the knowledge of the product, which they already knew I knew a lot about certain things, but I don't know everything. But the bottom line I'm saying is that they have what they call a CBL, a computer-based learning. They never put me through that whole class until after, and I mean months after, I was already on a register. They said, oh, you got to do your CBL. And I go and pull them up, and I'm like, oh, cash register training. something you all never gave me prior to putting me on the register. See what I mean? That type of crap, they try to avoid not letting happen because then they could be accused for the fact that you were not trained correctly and in the order that you should have been trained. You should never put a person on a cash register without going through the proper training. Or anything else. Just like you can't put a police officer on the street without going through the academy. Same thing applies, in my opinion. But companies are doing that a lot. But back to the topic. No, I'm one that where, yeah, I get offended sometimes when people talk to me like I'm a child. And Mama D, I know sometimes Janet thinks I am, but I'm not. Thing is, I'll just be like, well, this is what I said, and she'll say, I already know that. I'm like, okay. But that happens in our conversations sometimes when we're working on a show. But
no, wait. Mama D, it's when Michael say you is for everybody. You means me.
No,
it don't mean everybody.
See, now, hold on. Mama D, when I say you, I'm not saying you in particular. I say, like, if I'm talking about something, I say, it makes no sense. If you think that you can do this, and I'm saying based on the conversation, not you personally, I'm saying I can't understand how you can think that
you
can take
Mama
this.
Mama D, tell Michael what you mean.
Mama D, you still
there?
Yes, I'm
we,
here.
It's not, huh?
No, yeah, that kind of a you, Michael, is. That doesn't necessarily mean, I know what you're saying about you in general, but sometimes you are directed
right.
at specific people.
But you know what I'm saying is that word because a lot of folks talk in that manner, and I'm sorry, it's just been in me. It's like when I say, how can
you
go to a store?
I know talk like that.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I'm not saying you personally, but it's a thought. You know what I'm saying? It's like what I'm saying. How can you, not meaning you personally,
let me say this, right? Okay,
uh-huh.
So I say, okay, the thing is, if you're speaking and you know who's listening, all right, so you know who you have listening, and really you are talking about one of the people who are listening, but you don't want to, like, single them out, so you say you, but everybody knows that the you you're referring to is that person. So sometimes, you know, you're saying, no, I mean it. No, sometimes you don't. And that's the whole thing. And you got to remember, I'm sorry about my dog. I don't know what he's hearing outside. I'm trying to mute. But
no,
the thing is, Michael, let me just say
this
real fast. Like, wait, Mike. If you always tell me, wait, just one more thing. Janet and I are older. You, Courtney, are younger. Okay, so you don't understand. And when you were talking about, you know, and you're like at Walmart when they tell you how to do something, you just listen and take it because that's what you're supposed to do as an employee. You're supposed to listen to your boss. Janet, for instance, already mentioned that she was over everybody. So basically she was the boss of that you had to listen to. Well, what I did
mm-hmm.
also at IRS, I also was the boss that people had to listen to at
that's
what
right.
we were
correct.
Doing. So I had reached that point too. And, of course, now being the owner of my own business, I'm the only boss there is. So, again, you have to understand that when we're talking from our point of view is we are the ones that are up here, and your point of view is you're the one who has to listen to us because that's what your job entails, and you don't want to get
mm-hmm.
written up for it. You want to be told you're not listening or something like that. So you really are doing the right thing. Because you're doing what you do what you do because you don't want to have them say, oh, he's a problem person. He won't listen to anything we
mm-hmm.
tell him. He thinks he knows it all.
Cool.
And you don't. You do exactly what
mm-hmm.
you have to do to listen, get by, even though you already know it. And that's the
right.
thing. That's a good quality. That's a good quality.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the you, when you're listening to a you sometimes, a you can definitely, even though you're talking and you think you're talking about a group, sometimes – the person that hears it says, I know he's talking about me. And that's where
right,
I think a lot
right.
of things sometimes come from.
Right. And
so
it's
the
not,
conversation
and,
is Mike
and
I. When the conversation is me and Mike, it's me and Mike,
Janet,
not nobody
Janet,
else.
Janet,
so he did not say you
Janet,
and say people in general.
But when we're talking about a certain situation or that someone's done, that's use that term. Not saying you understand what I'm saying, Mama D, when we're talking about
people,
talking about
others,
show, and I'm like,
say a lot of things. But
this is the point I'm saying that way, and we're not going to go around and around about that the next 5-10 minutes that we're going to be on the show. But the things that were, people do have certain ways of responding or reacting, and I can agree with Janet to a certain point, because there was a person I used to date that we went out to lunch one time. And she was loud talking inside of a place because she was upset about what a manager said and everything. She said, and I'm like, wait a minute, what are you fussing at me about? You know, because see, she opened up, she made it seem like I had nothing to do with it, but she turned it around and said, well, you didn't say nothing. She was complaining about the manager who was on her, and she said, but you didn't say nothing. I'm like, it's not my place to say anything. That's between you and your supervisor. See, so you understand what I'm saying? But that was the case. But here's the thing also, staying on my train of thought. I agree with what you're saying, Mama D. That is true. So I'm working on not saying you, just like, well, how can a person, meaning in general, you know, think that that's okay or think that way, you know?
Right.
I get it. I truly get it, you know.
It is, because I can tell you sometimes when we're on Real and Raw, and either I'll be talking or Courtney will be talking, you know, people don't realize what's going on in our life at the time, at that exact moment. And even during the show, like today, I didn't even know she was going out of town. She hadn't even told me that she was going out of town. And we're on the show, and I see all this, and finally, you know, I was on mute, and I said, you know, are you guys going somewhere? And she's like, yeah. And I go, oh, well, where are you guys going? And she says, the beach. And I said, oh. And I said, just for the day? No, we're going overnight. And she hadn't even told me. So I'm like, we were having a discussion going on at the same time that the show was going on. So sometimes then when one of us are speaking and we're making a comment, we know damn well we're directing it to each other, even though, well, we might be using the you word. Can you believe the kind of things that people can do? Or did you know? Believe me, we're really directing it at each other, but I do understand what you're saying there also, you know?
It's interesting.
Yeah, she was gone before the show ever ended. They left, you know, like I said, because, you know, I run the board, but so they left before she was talking from the road as they were headed to the beach. And so that's like I said, you know, so it's like sometimes it's just like, okay. And as she was going out the door, you know, she happened to be, you know, she was talking at the time on the phone, something AK said, and she just turned around and, you know, mouthed the words to me, love you, which, you know, and I said it back, and,
you know,
off the world they went, you know.
Right. But, you know, a prime example, some years back, Janet, how long have we been on the air now? I've totally lost track. I have to go back and look at older shows. Seriously. And by the way, when you said older, yes, you and Jen are older than me. You only got me by 5 years, Mama D. I'm 61. But still.
I'm 73.
Right. Jen is 73. What was really interesting a while back is that one time Jay King was on Kings in the Morning, and something happened with the audio or whatever, and he said, can you guys hear me? Can you hear me? And I texted him directly. I said, you're the only voice that I hear right now. And he responded, said, all right, Michael Gay, don't be salty, you know. So the way he took it was like I was being sarcastic, right? And then he came back and he said, and I texted him back. I said, no, you're the only voice I can hear on the show at the moment. I can't hear anybody else. But he responded, said, hey, you know what? He said something like, you know what? Sometimes we can take text wrong, right? The way a person responds, you know, because a lot of times you don't want to text out a long answer, but if you text it out real short,
people might take it as you being short. You know what I'm saying? Your response is really
it's
short
same
and fast.
Like cap. When you do cap, you're hollering. And people don't, when you do
right,
cap,
right.
all caps, you're hollering.
Exactly. See, so that happens. But there's a lot of folks who don't want long answers. They just want something short and sweet. But sometimes that short and sweet can be taken as being disrespectful. And like Janet just said, in caps, that you're hollering. Not everybody knows the rules of texting, but, you know,
yeah,
it might
because
be of an
Robert and Suzette,
texting.
Robert and Suzette, the call that are their faithful listeners are real and raw. Suzette calls in by phone, but Robert does the chat room. And what's funny is you can always tell when it's Robert in the chat room because he does all caps. And so
that's
it's always
boy.
Funny. Is, yeah,
that's
ring
it,
a boy.
Boy.
That's all caps.
Mm-hmm.
That's Robert. Yes, that's Robert. And he's all caps. And so I always laugh.
So he's hollering the whole time. He's hollering the whole time.
But he's not. He's just an all caps writer.
No, but you know, caps are supposed to be that you're hollering, as Janet just said.
I know. Yeah.
He just says, okay. And I get it. You know, I don't know who came up with that whole thing because the things that were, if you're texting, you know, I get kind of frustrated trying to put, you know, to spell it correctly, the T, capital T and then lowercase H-E and then state. Capital S, you know what I mean? It takes a lot of stuff like that on your phone. Just type it out. You know, just type it out. Put in your
well, when
period.
You know how to type, you know what etiquette means when it comes to typing and putting colons and explanation points and commas. And you got to add all that in there, you know?
And I still do that. Well, if you get a text message from me, or email or anything, you will find every single word. I don't use the letter U for you. You know, I mean, the only time you will see me use anything, I do use LOL, you know, the laugh out loud one. I'll use the LOL sometimes, but that's the only one I use. Otherwise, I literally type everything out. And, Michael,
yeah.
I haven't listened to a Kings in the Morning show in forever.
Wow. Yeah, I listen, I don't call in. I'll listen to hear, you know, I mean, to be honest, I have to give Jay King a lot of credit. He's been doing this for a long, long time, still doing it, still got a good following. So I tune in just to hear some of the...
He's lost a few people, including... a couple that are related to him.
Well, he's got some new folks, and he's got some folks who have returned. Robert Redwine is back. He has a lot of co-hosts. Some do not really come on the show per se as far as on the phone line, but they'll be in the chat room, stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, he's still keeping it going, which that's good. You know, and whenever there's something really worth listening to, that's when I listen or I might text. But I really don't call. I really don't know call. You know, because I'm Michael Gay. I'm the worst damn thing that ever happened to the J. King Network. So I'm the only person that made them shut down the show for a whole day or two in order to change the passcode. And I'm like, what was that for? I'm not going to call back in. And just run, you know, still.
And then the funny part about that is Lynn had Courtney's email address. And the thing is, Courtney has like 20 different emails, right? And half the time she never looks at her emails. And so Lynn had apparently texted Courtney the password, the new password. And so the day of the show, when I was trying to log on to the board, I was like, it kept telling me the password was wrong. So I finally text Jay and I told him, I said, Jay, I said, did the password get changed? I said, I can't get logged on. Well, so then of course Jay, you know, sends me the password and he says, Lynn emailed everybody with it. And he said, she probably emailed it to Courtney. I'm like, well, that's your answer right there. But I was like, here I was like 5 minutes before, still trying to get the password to bring the board up. And I'm like, what the hell did you change the password? I didn't even know why they did it. Until later. I knew later, but yeah. I didn't know at the time why. But I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, they really crazy. Changed the password just because of that? Oh, my Lordy.
Yeah, that was hysterical. Yeah, that was hysterical. Yeah. I laughed so hard. And I never tried to call the number again. You know, I mean, and I was like, why? You know, but that was funny, you know. Hey, look, ladies, I truly appreciate you hanging out a little bit longer, chatting it up. Mama D, let me know when tax season is slowed down and you're available. We'd love for you to come on and share your knowledge. 40 years. Wow, 40 years. That's a long time. Yep. And educate us. Educate our listeners. I truly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do.
You know,
us in this radio atmosphere, you know, from the J. King Network to the Michael Gay Network to every network out there, you know, everybody has something to share, and we can all learn a little bit. Even sometimes when I get finished with this show, I go to Blog Talk, and I just, you know, if I'm not doing anything or anything planned or whatever, I just comb through some of the shows and listen in and listen to what the topics are and not necessarily call in, just listen. Just listen. There's a lot of information out there outside of your
mm-hmm.
regular television shows, you know,
right.
a lot of things that people have to say. So with that being said, I want to say thank you to all of you who tuned in, all of you that have been listening on the worldwide internet or that at the worldwide Blog Talk Radio. You've been listening to the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network with my co-host today, the one and only Miss Janet Pollock. Hawkins Davis, and thanks to the host of co-host of Real and Raw, Mama D. Make sure you tune in to their show every Saturday at 12 noon. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. Pacific. No, 12 noon
no.
Pacific.
Yeah, Pacific. 3 Eastern.
Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So you guys will listen to me at 6. Listen to Real and Raw at 3 p.m. Eastern time here on Blog Talk Radio. And give out the number for all the ones that are listening.
I have no idea.
You know what? You're going to make me have to work, Michael. I don't know the number.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Janet?
I said, you know the number.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, there it is. It's 515-605-9376.
Yep.
That's it.
Again, 515-605-9376, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Blog Talk Radio, the J. King Network. And just check out Real and Raw. Interesting conversation, interesting guest. It's not for the young at heart sometimes, you know. And
it's totally uncensored, yes.
Uncensored, so
totally
rated R.
Uncensored. Oh, yeah, it's
okay.
Definitely, you know, and when you have to create it, we definitely have to use the rating higher than the usual one.
13. You know, I found that interesting that they have family oriented or something like that. And then they have PG, then they have PG-13, then they have rated R. I'm like, R.
Well, you know, the sad part about it is, you know, there's always going to be language on the show because that's just something to do with. They really sometimes get into some topics that are definitely R topics. So that's why, you know, you
correct.
Always got to, you know, and the thing is unlike you, Michael, you have an itinerary. Courtney
mm-hmm.
flies off the cuff. Every show, I never know what the show is going to be until she starts talking, and then she starts talking, and then whoever decides to come in and the whatever starts going, and every now and then, you know, I might bring in something that's going on currently in the news, but you know, it's like you have no clue what's going to go on Real and Raw until you listen to the show.
Wow. Well, we normally format what we want to talk about beforehand, and then I do up the itinerary for Michael. Sometimes he uses it, and sometimes he don't. But, you know, we have something to go by, all the co-hosts.
you know.
Well, the only thing is that,
and you know, Michael,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was going to say, and I give you credit, too, because you have a lot of guests on your show. You know, you do, we had guests at the beginning, but we don't really do guests right now. You know, I mean, Courtney's been thinking about doing some. She's got a couple that she was thinking would be really nice, would be good to have on. But I give you credit because you really do. You have some really good guests on your show.
I appreciate it. I'm blessed. You know, to be honest, I mean, I'm just an everyday guy. And some of the special guests that I've had, I mean, legends, new artists, you know, just the different things that these people do, and I just happen to run into, or hopefully, thankfully, I'm introduced to, and I'm just an everyday guy. You know, I truly appreciate that. But going back to this, and I know we got to go, when it comes to the itinerary, Janet does a lot of research. She really does on the topics. And Janet is, I mean, when it comes to the political platform, Janet's on top of that. She don't miss anything any politician says or does, right? But, you know, as I said, we're a variety show. And she'll have a bunch of stuff and she'll send it to me. I'm like, Janet, we only have 2 hours, you know. But I would take – but the thing is that where she'll send the itinerary and I'll share with her, you know, okay, well, outside of politics, this is what I think we need to talk about, this and that and the other. And she'll send me a bunch of stuff and everything, but then we'll post it. Because we post it on our social media pages, and then something might happen after it's posted, or I might see something.
Right.
And, yeah, then I will say, oh, wait a minute, I have to remove something here to insert this here, you know, because, like I said, we're a variety show, and sometimes we don't get to certain topics. We'll probably, if it's going to be an ongoing thing, we'll schedule for the following Saturday. You know,
right.
we'll move it forward to the next week as a topic to discuss. So that's what really works for us on our show. You guys, wow, you guys are amazing. You know, because you know every show is not meant to be the same, or every broadcast is not meant to be the same, right? If I did everything you did, and vice versa, it'd be boring to tune into either shows, right? But I really enjoy the topics a lot of times that you guys talk about. I love the banter, the kiki and ha-ha and stuff like that. You guys talk about a lot of stuff that other shows don't talk about at all. And it's no holds barred for all you guys that are listening. It's entertaining, but it's also educational. It can be spiritual at times, too. But
and definitely conspiracy
to.
Theories.
And conspiracy theories.
Right.
A lot of that too. A lot of that too. And so you can
tune in because I like conspiracy theories.
Oh, we got some big ones. Believe me.
Yeah. Well, we just talked about one with the conspiracy theories about what's happening with P. Diddy,
Jamie Foxx,
you know, and Jamie Foxx and others.
I told you, he's a Stepford wife now. He's gone. He's actually a Stepford wife now.
Amazing. Hey, ladies, I want to thank you. We went over time a little bit here.
Thank you, Michael.
I did that intentionally because I truly appreciate you. Make sure you tune in
next Saturday.
Start your Saturday, actually. Go and check out Real and Raw at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And then once you finish listening to Real and Raw, wait about an hour, tune back in to Blog Talk Radio and check out TMGS, the Michael Gaze Show, on the TMGN network. Thank you, Mama D. I truly appreciate it, and we look forward to scheduling you for your educational information about doing your taxes and being prepared every year.
You got it. Everybody have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
You take care.
All right. Take care, you guys. Janet, you have anything you want to say?
No, that's it, Michael. You take care. Have a good weekend, whatever's left of it, for both of you.
God bless. Good night, you guys. We'll see you next Saturday.
Good night.